This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
South Africa's largest private health insurer, Discovery, which is in effect building out to be so much more than just that. It really is a platform business, kept its interim dividend for the half year to end December unchanged at 101 cents. That's despite reporting a double-digit profit fall as it grapples with historically low interest rates in the UK market. The group's Vitality Life business swung into a loss after it implemented an interest rate hedge structure to mitigate exposure to further lowering of UK interest rates. Group profit fell 11% to 2.07 billion, but Discovery said its established businesses delivered a robust performance, growing profits 3% to 4.3 billion. Normalized profit from operations fell 7% to 3.5 billion, with normalized profit at Vitality Life plunging 145% to a loss of 134 million. CEO Adrian Gore joins me now. Evening, Adrian. As you said at the results announcements, minus 7% doesn't roll easily off the tongue, but it does seem to be something of a one-off this. Just explain the impact of that low interest rate environment on your UK business.
Well, Michael, essentially a life insurer, you know, invests premiums in the long term to pay claims. And if rates of interest are a lot lower than you assume, obviously that means your liabilities are bigger. So when rates go down for long-term insurers, that's not a great environment. But it's very important to say that rates fluctuate up and down, and these are essentially valuation losses or valuation determinations. They're not cash operating losses, so to speak. So It will fluctuate from time to time, and as rates have gone down, it's an existential issue. You just got to take the hit. That's what happens.
And we know that we're in an environment with low interest rates all over the world. It seems to be with us for much longer. How are you responding to that?
Well, you know, in the UK, the rates are remarkably low. So real rates of interest are like -2%, -3%. I mean, it's hard to be that sustainable for the very long term, but it could be up for a decade. So what we've done is we've created a swap and swaption structure, hedge structure. So in effect, should rates go lower down, they won't affect us, which is something we felt we should do once rates become outside of our risk appetite. So we have put in place the structure. I think it's the right thing to do. We'll see how it plays out. I think we're very comfortable with what we've done.
As I said in the introduction, you really are building out to be so much more than just what the brand has become so well known for in South Africa, and that is the largest medical insurer. You're building the bank. You've got your Vitality chassis that you're using to help grow insurance products and all of these positive shared value type business models. That said, it means you've got to spend a lot of money. You're in that almost for a startup, that valley of death before you hit the J curve. Your budgeted spend for FY19 was around 19%. You are currently tracking around 28%. It does seem like a bit of a large miss and a blowout on spend to get these new businesses growing.
No, it's more of a timing issue. You know, we said that the spend would be 19% of profits of operating profit over the year. It's more seasonal, just the way we budgeted in the first part. So that should come down. In addition, because of the Vitality Life effect, that denominator, the total profit is lower. So the actual absolute spend is very much on target. You know, it's not easy building big organic startups out of a list of companies, you know, where people expect a kind of a steady progression. But I actually, despite all the critique and the debate and whatever, I actually feel the market has been fairly kind to us in allowing us to do this. It's a substantial investment. It takes some time to do, but I mean, I'm convinced again, I think we're doing the right thing. I'm very excited about the bank. The bank's progress, I mean, over its first 6 months has been tremendous.
And when we look at the bank's numbers, Discovery Bank had, what was it, 78,000 clients, 180,000 accounts as of the 18th of February, so a couple of days ago. You've grown deposits to 1.2 billion. The trend in banking, though, is simplicity, and think the like of Capitec here, yet Discovery's bank product is rather complex to achieve all the enhanced value that differentiates the Discovery bank to a simple bank account offering such as Capitec. What do you say to people that like the Discovery brand but find your offering perhaps a little bit too complex?
Well, I think the complexity is something we should deal with. So it should be simple to use, and we're trying to get that to happen. There's a lot of work going on the UX. But having said that, I mean, I think we are trying to offer something that adds real value. I don't think our approach is to offer a simple product that is just simply an account on a mobile. So I take the criticism that we should offer our products in a way that's simple to use, but I don't believe our products will ever be just a simple featureless approach. It's not the Discovery way, and it's certainly not the shared value way, we're trying to get behavior change in all people. So we're trying to offer a really powerful value proposition. I think we're very encouraged by the early data coming through.
What is that early data telling you?
Well, it's telling us that people are engaging in the Vitality Money program. They are changing behavior. We're seeing very high levels of deposit rates, of spend and of credit, with low levels of arrears. And I think I tried to show this morning, maybe too complex the data just on a slide, but trying to illustrate the correlations between people engaging in Vitality Money and low and kind of lower credit default seems very, very well correlated. So early indications, the data is early, but kind of I think we're feeling that the bank will grow in scale and people really using the bank, and the correlations are intact.
And also in your insurer business this morning, you showed a very interesting bullet point around the number of cars that you or households that you're insuring with vehicles above 400,000. So certainly you are scaling up that business into a very profitable part of the short-term insurance sector.
Yeah, you know, I think the insurer business has from the start been a really tour de force from the technology behavioral aspect. It really has been built very well by the team. I think we tried to show this morning is starting to get really good scale and therefore it fits into the whole South African composite very, very well. So we're optimistic about where it will go.
And then broadly speaking, can you just share how V1 helps you achieve global scale? Because as you said, you're building this out across multiple geographies, each with their own particular technology or regulatory or currency or cultural issues. So the V1 is really critical in helping you scale this globally.
You know, to get the Vitality model into a number of markets, every market has different kinds of partners that are physical, you know, different grocers, different healthy food outlets. The insurers you partner with have different requirements. So if you want to scale this out across many, many markets concurrently, you either do this with different systems in every market, which means that you can't really scale new products, or you have one platform that's flexible enough to do that. So we've opted for the latter, a complicated route to go, but we've, over the last number of years, have built it substantially into something that really is working well. It's worked well in Japan, which is one of the most difficult markets to serve the needs of Japanese customers around devices, and it's going really well. So we're scaling it out into Germany and the US all over, and it's something that we see will be a very powerful competitive advantage going forward.
Speaking of the Asian market and Japan, obviously the big talk over the last month or so has been novel coronavirus, and your Ping An business has shown phenomenal growth and is going to scale at a further factor of 10, another big, hairy, audacious goal for the Ping An business. But how is the coronavirus feeding through or impacting in the health business over there?
You know, I think if the virus plays out as people predict, the effect on us has been largely minimal. We're not present in the province where the epicenter of the virus is. At the same time, the Chinese government has been clear that expenses related to this will be paid through the social health insurance. So I hope it doesn't sound self-interested. The business itself doesn't appear to be directly affected. If there's a slowdown in the economy and there's more catastrophic effects economically, you know, that could be different. And I think, like the rest of the world, we watch it very, very carefully. Mm. I do think the kind of social obligations of companies in China, we see that being part of Ping An, that, you know, beside the business issues of helping educate people, helping them with their needs, it's quite a remarkable social, how can I say, obligation of companies to help in this process. And I think very proud of Ping An Health. They're using some great stuff in that regard.
And it was one of the points that you mentioned earlier today, these three meta trends of social responsibility, technology, and an evolution of risk, and how those have all evolved. You've certainly positioned Discovery to be at the forefront. We've seen the ESG issue in the wake of Davos this year. It was a big talking point. Larry Fink of BlackRock has really mainstreamed this whole issue of ESG. So the shared value model, very well positioned to reap the benefits of those trends. But how do you ensure that you stay ahead of the chasing pack?
Well, you know, I tried this morning to explain some work that was done on the concept of just how capitalism has evolved. But ESG is, I think, a tremendously powerful force, obviously. But there's an element of tick box governance to make sure that you're compliant with, and that's a good thing. But it is about compliance. It is about extra cost potentially. I think what we're trying to argue is a purposeful company with shared value. It should tick those boxes anyway. But if you can be competitive and profitable by doing good, that obviously has to be the best. That's how you can really scale. And I think, fortunately, as an insurer, if people are healthy, we're more profitable. At the core of our business model is this alignment of interests with our customers. And so the Vitality Shared Value Model really is a is a model that can scale and do good at the same time, and therefore it really is about stakeholder capitalism.
And it's a human capital business as well, Discovery. Here in South Africa, are you finding immigration affecting your businesses in terms of recruiting and retaining? It's been an unfortunate byproduct of the last 10 to 12 years with state capture and Eskom and load shedding, and I know you're very vocal, Adrian, about trying to counter that narrative and talking about an internal resilience in the South African economy, but the numbers do show that we are losing a lot of very important taxpayers. Are you seeing that in the human capital side of your South African business?
No, I mean, listen, I think that Discovery, I think it is an issue, obviously, and I think as business and as leadership, you need to give people hope. I do think that Discovery's position from a place people want to work with, I think we do attract really smart people, and there are always smart people graduating and coming through. I don't think we see a shortage of them, and we're not losing tremendous amounts from our organization. So it's something we need to watch very, very carefully. We see more of the effect of a stagnant economy. You know, so if you look at the employers we cover, just actually they're not hiring more, getting smaller. That is an issue. And I think that's less of an issue of immigration, more of an issue of just a stagnant economy that we have to act on. We have to act quicker.
Yeah, the reforms that the president has offered have come in baby steps rather than the big giant strides that the country perhaps needs. Now, there have also been a lot of management changes in the last year. Jonathan Broomberg, Kellner moving to head of South Africa. What's behind the changes? Are you perhaps looking to reduce your involvement in the company?
No, actually on the contrary. What we've done is I think we've focused down. We've got four strands of how the organization's playing out. And to an extent, I think as it's evolved organically, there's been all different businesses with reporting structures. We've simplified the structure quite carefully. We've got, you know, an SA head, we've got a UK, one UK head, we've got one head of Barry Schwartz, where my colleague is head of the Vitality Group, and we brought Johnny in to drive the health international businesses. So it's actually cleaned up the structure and aligned the structure with the four strands that we set out as an organization. So I think this is, it's not so much a change as more of a, just a kind of a centralization of locus of control in the different areas. And each of these people have been involved in building this stuff organically from the ground up. So I think it will create a much greater focus and a greater intensity, which is what we need.
Well, as Chris Gilmore said right in the beginning of that old Arabic proverb, the dogs bark, but the caravan moves on. Adrian, always a great pleasure chatting to you.
Thank you.